Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people.
Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle.
Everything's a goddamn debate. All right, guys, greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. If you're listening right now, I really would appreciate... Hold on. It's not going to sound good. No, it's going to be bad. Nope, I hate you, StreamYard. I really hate you. I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. Every single goddamn day, it is StreamYard bending me over and just fucking me right in the ass. No, it's Redbeard. It's not user error. So you can fuck off, Redbeard. If you wanna like step. Trust me, you don't think that I don't try to give my audience the best user experience? So, Redbeard, seriously, you can suck my dick. Suck my dick. Seriously, suck my dick.
You don't think that I...
See, it's working now to Redbeard. Suck my dick. Because, like, you don't think that I don't try to give my audience the best user-friendly, the best listener experience? Seriously. I mean, this is something that I do all the time, and I really do take offense, Redbeard, that, yeah, have a good night. So, you know what, Redbeard? See ya, buddy. See ya. If you want to, like, come at me, well, I would appreciate it if Lemmy did. But you're going to come at me? You're going to come at me and tell me that it's user error? No, it's not. It is not user error. Seriously, Redbeard, like, why... I mean, seriously, no, you made a comment, but this is something that I do on a regular basis. I have been doing broadcasting. Oh, well, fuck you, dickhead. Hack. I'm a hack now. Peace. Well, Redbeard. See ya, my friend. No, but I mean, I don't get it. You know, like, have another beer. You know what, Redbeard, or another. Here, you want to take coffee? Have another beer. See, you are just stooping down to, and I've never, ever, ever gotten this. And I wish that I could just turn off the chats, but I love to exactly unsavory character. I mean, I don't get it. I do not get it. You know, all the time that I've done radio in my life and everything. Well, Redbeard is not funny. It's not funny. It's just not funny because I love creating content. I love being able to entertain people. I love just doing radio and stuff. And it really, really does irritate me that I cannot seem how to figure it out. So, Redbeard, you know what? Let me take a step back, Redbeard. I apologize. Redbeard, I'm so sorry, Redbeard. It's not like you're doing any content and you're trying to create and somebody just said user error. So here, hold on. Let's rub the beard a little bit. I'm just trying to do content. I'm just trying to get on and talk about things, whatever it may be. Because it is a way for me to just kind of vent. It is therapy to me. Coming on here and talking and doing this is a little bit of therapy for me. It really, really is. I like doing this. I have no urge to be back on terrestrial radio anymore. I don't. I really, really do not have any urge at all to be back on terrestrial radio. I just want to do my show. I don't really care how many people are listening or watching. I do understand that this is all on demand and everything. So I'm having a good time with what I'm doing. And if you guys would like to call in, Redbeard, if I pissed you off that much, if you'd like to call in, 407-270-3044. Once again, that is 407-270-3044. Something that's going on here in the state of Florida, not only are we known for our being the lightning capital of the world, but we're also now known as the shark bite capital of the world, the state of Florida, especially around Central Florida, Volusia County, New Smyrna Beach, that there's a lot of shark bites going on.
It's the dawn of a new day off the coast of Long Island, where a string of recent shark attacks has led to stepped-up patrols, leaving beachgoers shaken and lifeguards injured.
Okay, so this is the way that I've always thought about it. I do not like going into the ocean. I hate going into the ocean. When you go into the ocean, you're in the other animals or sharks, fish, whatever it may be, you're in their territory. And if you get bit, that's on you. That is on you that you're out there in their, you're in their ecosystem. You're in their kind of little bit of an area.
I'm treading water and all of a sudden I feel this sharp pain and pressure into my hand.
Zach Gallo was ironically rehearsing a rescue playing a victim some 30 yards offshore at Smith Point.
And he got bit in the hand and it looks like right in the chest right there.
When he was bitten.
Kareem Wheat 2022. Ocean is just a huge toilet bowl for fish. It is. Like, you, every time you go swimming in the ocean, you're, us as humans, we think that we are just worth more than anything else and that we should feel safe. No, when you're in the ocean, you are on the same level as all the other predators. The Jolly Gator. Good evening, sir. We are just at the ocean, literally half a mile from where this happened. So yeah, it's bad. Iggy T checking in. Hey, what up, Iggy? How are you?
A very similar scenario to what happened to lifeguard John Mullins only days later on Fire Island.
Kind of felt like the T's were like inside my skin, and when I pulled my foot out, it kind of just felt like a scrape.
I mean, you're basically describing what it's like to get bit by anything. The Jolly Gator writes, I was telling my nine-year-old that wanted to go in at 6 o'clock fucking 30 in the goddamn morning to go boogie boarding. It's a Bubba, this primetime shark-feeding weather dog. Yeah, you are always, every time you go swimming out on the shore with all the bait fish, with all the weird things that are going on with the environment these days. Yeah, I mean this is what's gonna happen. Jolly Gator also writes, he just couldn't hear that, just saw the waves. Seriously though, like you really have to. The ocean will humble you.
Like a rake going up my foot.
The recent encounters with the feared predators paired
look,
with another.
Look at that! Look at that big ass shark. I just do not get everybody's fascination with going into the ocean. Like, I went surf fishing like a month and a half, two months ago with Fish on J, and I hooked onto a big ass shark. And I reeled it all the way in to the shore. He ended up breaking the line. But this shark was out there. When I'm telling you, there were little kids. That were swimming right where I had the bait, right where I had the bait at, that it ended up hooking on and I reeled it in. And these little kids, these children were out there. I had to tell them, because once they heard a shark was on, they were all like, oh, I got to see the shark. I'm going to get out in the water. And I was like, I was yelling at the parent, you need to tell your kids to back up. Seriously. Because I don't know what this shark is going to do.
Possible incidents near Jones Beach have caused officials to crank up oversight using drones and choppers in an attempt to spot sharks. The U.S. led the world in shark attacks in 2021 with 47. That's up 42% from the year before. Florida, which leads the list.
Bam, Florida. Florida showing up strong. Florida. FLA. 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 Florida showing up strong, and it's all showing up right there in New Smyrna. There's some on the Gulf Coast.
By far, just saw a trio of attacks
there you
in
go.
The last
New Smyrna
couple
Beach.
Weeks. Two that could have been deadly. Addison Bethea was attacked by a 9-foot shark at Keaton Beach near Tallahassee while on
I mean, hitting it right in the panhandle like that, you don't see a lot of them in the panhandle coming up in the Gulf of Mexico, but I feel really, really bad for this young woman.
Vacation with her family. The 17-year-old had a part of her leg amputated.
You can get to me?
But days ago.
Man, oh man, this young woman had part of her leg amputated.
She bravely took her first steps, posting on the Facebook page, Fight Like Addison, with a GoFundMe.
The Jolly Gator writes, dude, you're right, the Panhandle hasn't had a shark attack that I can remember for the past 35 years. And this poor girl lost part of her leg. But, I mean, is this all a case of we feel like we are more important than what we really, really are? as humans that we're like, oh yeah, oh, we're okay. We can swim out in the ocean. Nothing's going to happen to us.
It's already raised almost $70,000 for her medical expenses. Lindsay Bruns is also recovering.
We're out at Sawyer Key on a boat. My wife just got bit by a shark. Her leg is bad.
Her husband frantically calling 911 after this attack in the Florida Keys.
Ooh. I don't know. You know, stretch marks are kind of a turn on sometimes. Are shark bite scars? I don't know. It's a good looking leg. Depending on how these, the stitches and everything hold up. I don't know. It might be kind of hot. Seriously. Look at this. Might be kind of hot. That's a weird ass bite. Like, I mean, it's down that one area there. And then like all the. I don't know, man. Shark bite scars might be pretty hot. I mean, people are into some really, really weird stuff. I'm just saying.
The couple's two daughters, pictured here 30 minutes before, had just climbed the ladder back onto their boat. Luke Bruns hoisted his wife aboard.
She's a really cute woman, though. Like, seriously, look at her. She's got, like, shark bite scars on her leg. Hot. 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 Hot.
Tourniquet around her leg.
Are you bringing her in?
I guess so. I don't know what else.
Are you bringing her in? I guess so. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Drive her in. Tell me the closest spot that you're going to take her to. I'll have an ambulance waiting for you.
Incredibly, Lindsay survived. Released from the hospital.
I mean, Jolly Getter's right. They do look like they're in a bay. I mean, a lot of those sharks might, and the thing is that New Smyrna is right there in an inlet. There is a little bit of a bay right there at New Smyrna. So, I mean, that could be something that is happening.
Little days ago.
All right, so I want to like move to one thing from the water. You know, like, I am big with Mother Nature. I'm big with things that, because we really, really do. We really, really do take advantage or take for granted these sequoias out in the West that are like 3,000 years old. And I know that some people may think that, oh, yeah, you guys are paying too much attention to these. What do we know? These sequoias are older than our country. Our country is not even 300 years old. These sequoias are over 3,000 years old. And because of global warming and being at a deficit when it comes to water, we need to do everything we can to protect these sequoias.
For portions of California's historic beauty, this morning, efforts to save Yosemite's 600 giant sequoias from the Washburn fire are becoming more desperate. On the ground, crews forging fire lines to try and contain the blaze. The heat.
Do you realize here in Orlando there was a cypress palm that was a couple of thousand years old that ended up burning up because some woman decided to smoke methamphetamines in the trunk of it? It's just like trees. These sequoias are so important. They are. Boomer 886, the historic drought and illegal fireworks from, well, hold on. I got Master Joshua. Master Joshua, how are you?
I'm doing well. Just to correct, I'm on Eastern Standard Time, right? I'm early.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're early, but only by 8 minutes. Right. Only by 8 minutes.
Yeah, no, I was I signed in earlier, and I was like,
all right, let me see this. I'm gonna put it up there a little bit. Hey, Master Joshua, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, so I mean, are you big into wildlife, nature, all that stuff?
To the degree that I can here in New York City, I'm very limited to accessibility aside from
But I'm talking about these big sequoias that are out in the West Coast, you know, with the wildfires and stuff. These trees are over 3,000 years old, Master Joshua.
Yeah, I just heard about that not too long ago.
I mean, shouldn't we do everything?
Time to process that.
Shouldn't we do everything to try to protect these things?
Yeah, saving planet Earth is a big deal for me. Did you hear about the Georgia Guidestones?
Is that with the satanic ones that were getting pushed over?
Did you ever read what was written on those?
No, I did not. But see, I'm not a religious person.
But it doesn't have anything to do with religion.
No, I know that. So what did they say?
It had to do with how do you keep civilization after we wipe ourselves off this planet, right? Like, how can we live in peace with nature? And that was the last sentence on it, was to live in peace with nature.
I think that is the most important thing, because
read those Guidestones.
No,
you got to read the Guidestones.
No,
I will. It's a tragedy what happened.
I will, but didn't they knock him down?
You had a conservative politician that was talking about them being a sign from the devil, because they talked about...
They thought they were satanic and stuff,
yeah,
right?
They thought they were satanic, and... So you had one of those extremists who took them for what it was and went and blew it up. And they knocked it down without an investigation or anything. They just tore it down. And it was sad because, like, essentially, let me tell you what it said, right? Because the idea behind it was to maintain humanity past the point of an apocalypse, right? Let's say nuclear war or starvation or sickness, where humanity got wiped out, right? And all it did was give, in 8 different languages, guides on maintaining the human species on this planet, right? So the first was said, maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature.
Mm-hmm.
That's reasonable, right? We're selfish into thinking that this planet is ours. So 7 billion people isn't wrong. But look what happened with COVID, how nature was able to come back and actually repopulate this planet. Right?
I've always thought that us as humans were nothing but a like fleas on a dog's back.
Dude, listen, you're gonna like this. Watch. Number 2 said, guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. Right? That's fair. Number 3 is unite humanity with a living new language. Imagine inclusivity, right?
Yep.
Rule passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason.
Right? I can
protect
see that.
Protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. Right? Let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court.
Mm-hmm.
Avoid petty laws and useless officials.
Well, I mean, when we have that. Big time.
we have plenty of petty laws and useless officials, right?
Yep.
Balance personal rights and with social duties, right? Prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite. And the last one, you're going to like this. Be not a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature.
But don't you think that, because if you look at the way things are, Master Joshua, that like...
Call me Joshua.
Okay, all right. Well, I mean, it said Master Joshua on the thing. So Joshua, you know, we've always thought like we are so good for the world, okay? If you look at any other species on the face of the planet, if we're the only species, if you just wiped us off the face of the planet Earth, Earth would actually heal itself. It would get better. Yes. It would actually thrive. It would take itself back. But if you take any of the minute little bitty species that people don't think are important, that it would have a ripple effect.
Yeah. The butterfly. Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy how we're just so self-centered. And this is, and I know you said you don't like to touch on religion. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you two definitions. I'm going to give you the definition for spirituality as my relationship with my higher power belief, right? Yeah. Mine for me is karma. I believe in the process of karma being what governs reality right now.
Uh-huh.
Religion by definition by me is how I treat other people under my belief system. Now, mm-hmm. whatever religion you desire to put in that hole, you can put in there, but the process of treating people is by definition what religion is, right? Is how a person treats another person under their belief system, right? So if it's any structured religion, you know, you also have to be responsible for your characteristics and traits based off of your beliefs too. You can't just blame it on your higher power, right? It's like we're all responsible for our decisions, because the whole point being here on this planet, in my opinion, is to experience the human experience, right? The senses, the emotions, the feelings, right? The thoughts, the independence from the greater conscious, but at the same time, not being so self-centered, thinking it's about us.
Mm. But Joshua, I've never been the guy that believes in karma. Okay. Mm. And I will tell you this, okay? Because I consider myself a good person. Okay, I consider myself almost an empath, almost. Like, I am able to put myself in other people's shoes. I'm able to to sense what they're going through, and I'm always kind. I always try to treat people the way that I would want to be treated. But if I'm just being honest, I get kicked in the balls all the time, Joshua. Like, I think I'm a good person. I treat people with kindness.
I was going to ask, what do you think would happen if you stopped doing that? What do you think the repercussions would be?
I do it because I think it's the right thing to do. Here, I'll give an example, okay? Mm-hmm. I'll give an example. This, you know, a lot of people like to look down on homeless people or the less fortunate and everything, okay? And, mm-hmm. you know, because I've dealt with a lot of trauma in my life. I've been institutionalized. I've been around a lot of people, okay? And it's made me learn to not just judge people from the outside, because you don't know what those people are going through. Do you get what I'm saying?
Oh, 100%. I agree. I live very similarly.
And I've been through a lot of similar things that people want to judge me on, okay? And I don't do that, because everybody has a story. Everybody has a story. You don't know what those people have been through. And there's this guy here in the little small city of Edgewater, Florida, that I live in right now. He never asked me for money. He always says, hey, can you buy me a chocolate bar and a Gatorade? And I do that for him. And then if I have anything extra, I'll throw him some change and stuff. But he never asked me, hey, man, can I get some money or whatever like that? And I took some time to talk to him. Like, I took some time to talk to him to find out his story. And he mm-hmm. had trauma in his past. And he's had run-ins. And it's hard for him to get work. He's told me. He's like, look, man, I want to work, but I can't. It's just hard for me to do that.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying when I
100% yeah
when
yeah.
I say that type of stuff?
When I moved back to East Harlem, I grew up in East Harlem. That's one of the not so good areas of Manhattan, And when I moved back here after 20 something years, what I noticed was the amount of homeless folks that were still here while the property values were going up.
Yep.
And it was heartbreaking because they're invisible, right? I ended up starting this photography project called Street Ghosts. And it was to bring awareness to the folks that everyone's just turning a blind eye to, right? And it's sad because everyone has trauma, everyone has life, everyone has experiences. And what we've stopped, and again, it comes back to ego and thinking it's about us. The work that I do, I do professional domination. Mm-hmm. And what I do in that work is I hold space for folks to speak their truth and to share their stories, and I witness it, right? And in that process, we're building rapport and we're building trust, so I can help walk you through self-actualization, right? Speaking the things that you've had too much shame to speak about. Mm. And the healing elements for anyone, right, is just to have space held for them, right? Someone who can just hear your story and respect you.
Do you think it is because that we are too judgmental now? Like, we have been taught that the people that are less fortunate, those are people that just did not work hard enough, or there are people that haven't done this, or they haven't lived life the way we expect it.
You know, it's funny because this conversation has really got a few wheels going. One in regards to what you said about karma and not believing in the currency, which is cool. And then people's expectations of, like you said, this person didn't work hard enough, or this person made the wrong life choices, or whatever it is. I mean, majority of America's two paychecks away from being homeless,
mm-hmm.
right? I think the internet, I think cell phones and social media, I think applications on these electronics have taken the soul out of connection and made it about instant gratification, right? Mm-hmm. What we have and what you don't have, right? So it's become a very self-serving culture, because you can order something on Amazon, right? We've conditioned our children with iPads and instant gratification for switching apps, and they don't know how to hold attention much longer than a few seconds, minutes.
How old of a guy are you? Like, are you a Gen Xer?
I'm 43.
Oh, so you are a Gen Xer then, because I'm 42. So you would technically be considered a Gen Xer, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to label you or anything, but
no, it's time frame. It's our experiences, but, what life had and what life didn't.
But isn't it funny, though, when we were growing up, and I'm not trying to be like, oh, the good old days and all that stuff, but it is kind of true. When we were younger, it was, if you went out and you got into trouble, unless you were a complete idiot where you got caught, because I'm being dead serious, though, because there were no cell phone cameras, there was no social media. It was your parents said, oh, you need to be home by a certain time, or if you were spending the night with a friend, then if you were spending the night with a friend, you just had, like, you had free range, unless you're a complete idiot, you know, the way that it was.
I think about that. Yep.
I mean,
even my time in the military, there weren't cell phone cameras, mm-hmm. right? When those things finally came out, it was like, I knew they were going to be trouble, because I used to do a lot of practical jokes with it too.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, I could see it coming. So yeah, I think for me, they were better times, right? I got to experience things that it wouldn't have.
Were there more connections, personal connections, you think?
Yeah. Yeah. You had to talk to people.
Yeah. It wasn't about, oh, I'm going to be a friend with this somebody because they got a certain amount of followers or something like that. It was just because as guys, though, also growing up in that time range, like, you had a loyalty, though, right? Don't you think, like, because I was never a tough guy growing up, but I got my ass beat. I was bullied and I got into fights and stuff. But those friends that you had growing up would take a baseball bat to somebody else if they needed to, you know. And I'm not saying that's a good thing, but it was loyalty.
No, but that's friendship. That's yeah, that's bonding. That's brother or camaraderie, right? I have friends that I'm still friends with now to this day. About three of them that we were friends since single digits, right? I have and then at periods of time throughout my life, lifelong friends. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Isn't those the ones? Because you do, you know, that's the thing when you're younger. You think, oh, I'm going to be with these people for the rest of my life. But in all reality, little did you know, you're not. Because you change as a person, right?
Yeah, for sure. Between that and quicksand not being as much of a threat as we thought it would be.
So, but also, you know, there, do you think that, because everything we're talking about, you are up in the Northeast, okay, I'm in the Southeast, there are differences regionally between people as well, too, don't you think?
100%, especially between Florida and New York. I mean, I can imagine every state between you and I, there's going to be cultural differences, societal differences, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I grew up, especially being in the South, and I've always talked about this, and I know that there's racism up in the Northeast, just like there is here in the Southeast. You know, when you grow up, you're not born racist, but it's something that's ingrained into you. I think one of the proudest things growing up, especially in the Southeast, is seeing my dad, you know, my dad's not around anymore, but seeing my dad grow as a person, you know, because he was taught by his family and, you know, and I was able to kind of break that cycle a little bit more. And I think my dad, you know, kind of learned from me a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that does happen in the Northeast as well, too.
We're lucky to experience growth like that, especially with our parents. One of the things that we tend to lose sight of is that they were 42.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yep. They were your age at one time.
Yep.
And imagine all the dumb shit that you did at 40. Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, we don't think about our seniors, our parents having, who taught them, right? At what age were you when you realized, when you realized everyone is winging it? No one knows what the fuck's going on. Everyone's lost.
Yeah.
Right. That everyone is making it up as they go along. No one got the book of relationships. No one got the book of communication. No one got the book of selflessness, right? We're only taught what our parents knew how to teach us, or mm-hmm. society knew how to leave ingrained in us, right? So racism, every ism, right, to whatever degree that we experience it, you know, it falls on a spectrum. I believe it falls on a spectrum.
Will it get better? Is it getting better through generations?
Yes and no. Because you also have intolerance for a different opinion. Right? So while everyone wants to be accepting, you have to accept things my way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So for a few examples, the trans community, folks who are detransitioning because they realized transitions weren't good for them.
Yeah.
Wasn't their identity, right? No one holds space for them, even though they're a marginalized community, right? Folks who are convicted felons, right? Society isn't ready to help bring them back into society because the system isn't built to support it.
I agree with you on that 100%. Like, I think that there's a lot of felons or a lot of felonies that fit into a category, and just because you're categorized as a felon, that you're automatically looked at as a bad person that loses their right to vote, that because there are some small little felony type things that put you in a category with a bunch of other people that have done way worse things.
Yeah, I agree. And especially as they're coming across with the changes in drug laws,
mm-hmm.
right? Like marijuana and psychedelics, when psychedelics hit the ballots.
Yep.
They need to expunge these, and they really need to find yep. a way to rebalance what people have lost through their system. I used to work for the feds in federal law enforcement for about a decade. And I would sit there and I would listen to the circus that they call the justice system. And I say that because, and we're going to bring racism back into this, right?
Mm-hmm.
The straw that broke the camel's back for me was I was sitting in court, and there was a liberal judge here in New York City. Trying to remember their name. Judge Shinlin.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a federal judge here in New York City. I don't know if she's still sitting. But she brought in, I was presenting two guys for court. One of them was a Mexican dude who was busted for smuggling 5 pounds of marijuana with the intention of using that money to send his kids to school in Mexico. Right? He got busted. He got busted for the marijuana and for illegal reentry. They banged him for 15 years with the state, with the feds, before going to ICE,
mm-hmm.
to serve another X amount of years for illegal reentry, right? There's no compassion. There's no empathy. The guy came in. It was very procedural. The defense attorney didn't say anything. The prosecutor didn't say anything. The judge was like, all right, this is what you're getting. Sentenced 15 years and 5 years probation. Done. The next guy comes in and is a white guy. And he sits down and he's sentenced as well. And the judge listens to defense attorney. The defense attorney has stuff to say. Then the prosecutor has stuff to say in support of the defendant. And then the judge refers to the defendant about all the letters and stuff she's read from the supporters in the synagogue. And she understands that he's active in the synagogue and that he played an active role in yada, 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 right?
Yeah.
She sentences him to 3 years probation, something like that, and sends him away. He was there for child pornography.
Oh, man. Like, seriously, though, like, dude, that
my head exploded, like, because of privilege, right, of accessibility.
Mm.
And it was, like, the most glaring atrocity that I've ever experienced in that court. Like, my head about exploded.
I cannot accept that. Because, I mean, if you look at marijuana or psychedelics like mushrooms or something, that, I mean, that is natural. That comes from the ground. It's natural. And then you look at what alcohol and tobacco, how many people that kills on a regular basis. And then you want to compare that to some, I have no sympathy for people that take advantage of children. I'm sorry. I don't know if that is something that it just hits home to me, but I have no sympathy for people that abuse or take advantage of children in any way. I don't think that they deserve any leeway. That's just the way that I'm always going to feel.
No, dude, I'm the same way. I'm very much the same way. I have no faith in the justice system. No faith in it. That was it for me.
I don't as well either, man. I mean, you know, like this, you know, and a lot of people will say this, well, he shouldn't have been running, but this African-American up in Akron that got shot over 60 times. And then you look at the white dude that shot up all those people that shot up those people in Chicago. That guy got taken, you know, without a shot being taken at him. You see what I'm saying? And I know that they might be different circumstances. And I know that maybe the guy that got shot up in Akron shouldn't have been running or whatever. But I mean, 60 times
to it, right? Like when I was in the law enforcement, in the academy, they teach you language that can help circumvent civil suits because you have to, all you have to do is be able to articulate you were in fear of your life. That's why they train you to say, stop resisting, stop resisting, even though the person
covers your ass. It covers their ass.
It's like all you have to do is watch the behavior. Silence is compliance, right? They say, oh, it's only 10%. Only 10% are the good ones. You have the other 10%, which are scumbags, and then you have the other 80 that don't say anything, right? And they're just as bad because silence is compliance, dude. If you're not stepping in and stopping what is wrong, you are supporting what is wrong.
Yeah.
And there's no two ways about that, right?
Yeah.
The system is not just, it's not in favor of the people. Racism is rampant. They train law enforcement to work in fear to justify shooting people.
But I still do support, let's be honest though, like we can't lump all law enforcement with the bad ones though. You can't.
Nor do I think abolishing them is the answer too.
Like defunding the police. You don't support defunding the police.
Yeah, that's stupid. But make them accountable.
Yeah.
Right? Take away the what is that? That shit where they can't get sued. Take away that shit and watch how quickly they become nice. The issue is respect, right? The idea was, I'm in uniform, and this is the culture. I'm in uniform, respect the police, right? We were taught that, respect the police, because they're out there sacrificing their lives and blah, blah, blah. That became a privilege. And it became a privilege to work in law enforcement because you get buys, right? Now, after you've been beating certain folks for decades, and now this is the blessing of the cell phone camera. Right, is accountability. Now we can record you, and now we can have evidence stating otherwise, because cops lie.
I mean, Rodney King was one of the first things that we could see where we got to see, you know, police kind of overstepping their boundaries.
Very much. And if we immunity, if we got rid of that and law enforcement was held responsible for their actions, shit would change 100%. They also have to understand that it's their time to earn the respect back from the community. It is no longer because it's expected.
Yeah.
Now it's an equal playing field. Like, you have to earn the respect of your community.
So I got to ask before I let you go, like I see all the tattoos and everything, you know, so how many tattoos do you have? Do you got full sleeves on both arms? You got.
I've got a ton of work. I don't have sleeves, right? Because when I was doing bodyguard work, I wanted to be able to cover my sleeves.
So you could still work. Tattoos. You could still keep them covered and everything.
Yeah, but yep. I do plan on going above and below because I don't plan on going back into that work. My life has already picked up full steam ahead in a whole different direction. That's two lifetimes ago. But I've got a ton of work. I can't even give you a number.
Yeah. So what are you doing for your main line of work right now?
Right now, I do professional domination.
What? And with domination. So let's. Need to talk to you a little bit more about this. So domination. Yeah. So like dominatrix type stuff, like fetish type stuff. So I've done this before. Now, do you just basically, do you have female clients or is it mostly male clients?
It's a spectrum. So what happened was during COVID, all the work stopped. Right. And what I had to do was figure out, where am I going to take my work from here? Because I can only work at that point one-on-one with the person. And it wasn't enough change that I was being able to bring forth. Right. So ultimately, what I'm doing as a male, as a pro dom, at this point is I'm taking my 10 years plus of professional domination experience of over X amount of years in the lifestyle experience, and we created a weekend intensive mm-hmm. retreat around introspection and personal development. And the idea is you come into the intensive.
My friend Wag says, not a dull moment here.
yeah. So, dude, serious. It's some good stuff. So it's like.
So, but I got to ask you, okay. So give me an idea of the type of clients that hire you, because I see the red fingernail paint and stuff, and like, so like, what type of clientele are you getting, and like, are there safe words, like how like deep into this are you going? Because I've been a part of the dominatrix type lifestyle, not that I like it, but from working in radio, I've been attached to torture racks and stuff like that. And I've done all that stuff. So give me an idea.
So for me, it's very particular, right? The people that seek me out are looking to understand and accept their identity that they've had too much shame to address, right? So working with me, you're going to invest introspectively at least 6 hours before we sit down and go hands on.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We have meetings, we have sessions, conversations that I have to get to know you.
Mm-hmm.
I have to get to know you, and I have to show you that I'm just a person as well.
Okay. Right?
Because we need to be validated. We need to be affirmed in our existence. We need to be seen and heard and told you're not wrong for being the way you are.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's my job, right? Is to hold space for a person and say, this is who I am, and I never thought I could share it with anyone, and I'm sharing it with you. And I'm like, cool. So now what do you want to do? Which way do you want to go with this? But this is like a very summarized version of what this
is. I can't believe it's taken us this long to get into this, but sorry. Because I'm very fascinated with this stuff. So is it mostly a male clientele, or is it a female clientele?
It's a mix depending on what the person is looking for, right? I'm a facilitator of change, right? Mm-hmm. I'm an agent of change. I'm the guy who's going to hold space for you so you can say what you have to say and try what you have to try in order to see that you are perfect the way you are.
Okay.
Right. So with all this experience, what I've done is I've developed a retreat around introspection and holding space and learning how to do this for yourself, because there's a difference between going to someone and having it done to you and you learning how to do it for yourself and learning how to hold space so others can do it with you, right? So what COVID taught me was I need to be able to teach this to more people at a greater scale. So we created these intensives and retreats around personal development and introspection.
Do you ever do couples that are...
Okay.
So couples that... Now, how is what you're offering, how could that help out a couple?
So it all depends on the degree that we're connecting on, right? If I'm going to be working with the couple directly, I would be working independently with each one to do this introspective work, this reflection on who are we and where are we looking to go and where have we been.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll come together with the information I've gained from both of them and start laying down the groundwork of what do they need to do in order to validate each other's experiences.
How do you get a client to trust you that this is an anonymous type situation? Do you get what I'm saying? Because some people that maybe want to use your services, how do you get them to trust you that this is you're not gonna like spill any of their secrets or what they're into?
Because my intake process is rigorous. And in order for them to get time with me, they have to lean into it. They have to be willing to put the work internally. Because, like, let's say someone came to me and they had a partner that didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to work with them. I'm not going to work with them in the capacity they think. What I'm going to do is help them reframe what it is they're experiencing and how can we open the door to introducing it to the partner.
Yeah.
Right? Because the minute you're lying about this is the minute you're breaking the whole process anyway, because the whole point of it is integrity,
Right? So is it all about trust, though? It's got to be about trust, right?
It's about trust and truth.
Is there any, and I'm not asking for any names or anything that would call anybody out, but do you have any success stories that you could share without, like, blowing up anybody's, like, private life? Like, how it's absolutely. Helped them?
Absolutely. Yeah, fuck yeah. 100. I have dozens of stories like this. Every client I work with is a success story.
Mm-hmm.
Because the idea is healing, right? To, again, to say, I'm not broken. There was one, a woman who came to me who had been diagnosed with cancer. And this is the depth of this stuff. I believe the work that we do is nothing short of healing, therapy. One of my goals is to legitimize BDSM as a form of therapy when working with a professional.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's happening is the space that we hold gives people time and space to heal. Right. So back to this client. She came to me. She was diagnosed with cancer. She was counting the days and she just wanted to feel beautiful one more time. She was married and her husband didn't know how to do that.
Yeah.
So they came to me and they asked
the husband and the wife came to you.
Yeah. Came to me and I wanted to show the husband how to do it. And I wanted to show her that she was still beautiful, regardless of what her body was going.
Wow. Oh man, this is actually kind of, because my mom has gone through, cancer and radiation and chemotherapy and stuff. And yeah, I mean, yeah, a lot of these people are going through this type of stuff, and it doesn't mean the end of you living a normal, like, lifestyle.
Yeah, a fruitful lifestyle, right? Something healthy. Understanding that the body has limitations, right? Like, so my slave Mary, if you're watching, I love you. She started off this initiative called Kink Abilities.
Uh-huh.
And the idea is
Kink
to showcase
Abilities.
Kink Abilities, right? It's the idea to showcase that there's folks with disabilities on this planet that are just as alive and sexual as everyone else. Mm. That their disabilities don't define them. And that they should have space too. Everyone deserves space. And that's an initiative that we've kicked off too, that's really fucking impactful, to help people see that they're more than just, right? They're more than just, insert whatever word you want to put in there.
Yeah, I got you. So I got, and please don't, hopefully you're not going to get offended. So, like, have you ever had male slaves? Like, what would you, like, and I'm not trying to put you in a box,
no,
but, like, what would you say you are? Like, you know, pansexual, what would you say? Pansexual?
Pansexual would be close, right? Then you have demisexual, but I coined a term back in 2019 called leather sexual.
And right. Explain.
And what that means is, to be involved in the leather lifestyle, there's a process of open communication and integrity that's required for it to be a journey worth living,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion, right? If you're a person of good heart, good faith, good intention, good morals, good character, right, who does shit with positive intent,
mm-hmm.
I'm attracted to you.
So, so you're looking at somebody for who they are and not just sexuality. So you are attracted by people that are just good people.
Not dicks.
So like, even if they're male or female, you're attracted to them if they're just good people.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not bullshitting or anything, but I mean, it's a simple way to kind of, and I'm not saying your outlook is simple or anything, but
it is simple. It's not easy, but it's simple.
Do you ever get judged? Do you ever get judged for your lifestyle?
All the time. I get judged all the time.
What about your family? Like,
sometimes, like, I haven't spoken to my mom in a few months because,
I see you wearing the fingernail paint and everything on your hands. Like, do they ever, like, judge you? Like, how did your parents treat you growing up?
I think the it wasn't what people think.
It wasn't.
Like, I had a good upbringing. Granted, there wasn't love and affection in the sense of like my parents were always working. They were working.
They were just
hardworking.
They tried to give you the lifestyle and support you and everything.
Yeah. Right. So
that's how mine was. I mean, my dad. So my dad worked his ass off. You know, like, did he make mistakes? Yeah, he did growing up. Of course. I mean, I think that's all a part of being a parent and stuff.
Yeah.
But he cared. Like, he would anything. And he worked his fingers to the bone to give me everything that I needed.
Exactly. So it's like, I can't judge them for that. What I do withdraw is when they're like, my mom's constantly negative. I'm not going to call you to check in with you to hear you complain about the same shit that you're not willing to change for yourself.
No.
So there's nothing to talk about today. Right? Because if we're going to go back down that road.
So you're the type of guy, you don't want the negative stuff in your life. Like, you need to.
I'm open to negativity if you're willing to be actionable to change it.
So just not about complaining, but you can be negative if you want to do something about it instead of just complaining to just complain.
100%. I'll give you the complaining one time for that problem once. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes people need to vent.
Man, and Josh, Joshua, I could sit here and really talk to you for a while, man. Have you enjoyed this conversation?
Yeah, let's do this again. I would love to sit and chat some more. I know our time is almost up.
No, it's just like, you know, like, I don't know. I thought you, for some reason, because I don't like to know a lot about the guest when I bring people on, because I think it's always great, because I remember when I first started out in radio, I brought a guest into the studio before we were on the air, and the host always told me, he was like, you never bring the guest on before we're on the air, because you can never recreate that first, like, initial conversation you have with somebody. Yeah. And I thought Master Joshua, I thought, oh, this guy is a karate guy or something. I'm just being upfront and honest with you, Josh.
No, listen, I have an appointment that has to starting in like 1 minute.
Okay, well, we'll go, but I want to have you on again. Okay,
please, I would love to. It's fine, sir. Thank you so much. You're an incredible human being. I really enjoy chatting with you, and I look forward to doing this again soon.
All right, Josh, man, have a great night, my friend.
Thank you so much.
All right. I absolutely love that interview. And I definitely want to have Josh on again. All right, guys, I'm going to get out of here. Hopefully you guys have a great night. Hopefully you guys stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.